AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to have you with us today. This is just weird weather. It is 50. My car thermometer registered 50 on the way here. I cannot believe, Eric, how much snow has melted just today. I mean, it really is incredibly noticeable. I went into a meeting this morning at 9:30. There's a few drips coming off. When I came out of that meeting about an hour later, it was like it was raining. There was so much water coming off the roof of that building. It really is nuts. Have you been out at all today?
I mean, I got here at 9, so it wasn't really that bad. But, yeah, you can tell everywhere. There's dirt everywhere.
Washer fluid is a good thing for your car today. If you don't, if you haven't filled up, stop by the store, pick something up, because you're going to need a ton of it today, because there's so much out there. And then reminders can refreeze. Enjoy today. It sounds like, 32 tomorrow, and then back into the teens as we get into the big week before the Super Bowl here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Ooh, I'm excited. Cliff Schechter is the founder and the president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain, columnist for the Daily Beast, and of course you can hear him on the Unprecedented podcast from Patreon. It's Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us to begin our show today. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. One of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit later on is I'm trying to contemplate what I'm going to go into town and see in the next 2 days, because come Monday with the Super Bowl coming into town on the following weekend, there's no way in hell I'm going anywhere near the downtowns for the next week and a half.
Are you excited for it to be in town?
It was interesting. Jacob Frey, who's the mayor of Minneapolis, he basically did a zip line across the Mississippi River today. We've got an ice castle in St. Paul in Rice Park. The Nicollet Mall is completely shut down. They've got ice sculptures, snowmobile races. We got more concerts and superstars coming into Minneapolis over the next, week and a half. I mean, as a matter of fact, I was looking at one of these stories about the concerts, and you can pay up to, a few thousand dollars for a ticket, or, a more reasonable, $300 for a ticket, depending on who you want to go see. But it is really neat, but my God, they're already having tons of problems just with the traffic jams in downtown Minneapolis, getting out 45 minutes to go 8 blocks, stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't think of that big a thing coming here to Cincinnati. But where we've had some of the really big conferences in town and other things like that, I just try to stay away. It gets kind of crazy. I understand, man.
Don't fool yourself, dude. In the last 6 months, I mean, Minnesota and Minneapolis, St. Paul get tons of high rankings. Cincinnati is getting a lot of good ratings. As a matter of fact, I think I might drive over there and visit there probably in the next year or so, just because there's so many cool things that are going over there. It sounds like Cincinnati's doing great.
We got ranked I think it was sixth or something in the New York Times of cities or places you have to go in this year to visit. I mean, there is a lot of great stuff going on here, and I don't just say that sort of because I live here. It actually is one of the reasons I wanted to live here. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought, I think I told you, I've been to Minneapolis a bunch of times. I've always felt like there are certain cities in the Midwest that have it, that have this great history, have great architecture, that still have the professional sports teams and have the arts, whatever. And then there's some other cities some other places that look more kind of like cornfield cities. I don't know how else to say it. It's sort of obnoxious, but no. And I've always felt like Minneapolis has it, Pittsburgh does, and Cincinnati really, there's all this great infrastructure here, and for a while there, when there was white flights from the cities, people just kind of let it go, and they've been fixing it. The music hall here, which dates from the 1870s, is beautiful, and probably one of the nicest I've ever been in, and they've now completely redone it. They're really making an effort here. It's kind of cool to be a part of it.
Well, we could talk travel all day long, easy enough. But let's talk about when you and I were at our secret society meeting the other day. It was right after the Obama terrorist fist bump, right before they handed out the George Soros checks. And by the way, the meatball buffet, delicious. But that being said, we were talking about how the media was supposed to make Trump look bad and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden he does it himself with this whole thing with firing. He tried to fire Mueller basically back in June.
Right. I mean, we were planning all that out. I was wondering to myself, the music, it could have been better. You guys are having all these great bands coming there. But I was like, why is Debbie Gibson playing at our secret society meeting?
We can do better.
What's going on there?
We can do better.
We can.
Yeah.
We can. So, I mean, you know, what to say. Ron Johnson, I mean, especially, he's a state over from you. What a moron.
Yeah.
Right? By the way, like, I mean, did he purposely get that wrong? I swear to God, the whole Republican argument that if you're a good businessman, you're a smart person and do well in politics. I got to say, I don't know if Ron Johnson just sort of lucked out, or I don't know if maybe he had family money that he then just turned into something else. But when you see people like Ron Johnson and Donald Trump, it kind of discredits that whole notion. Because I don't know what he did to make money, but he's an idiot. He's really not impressive and says really stupid things, like a lot. You know. But okay, I digress a little bit. So yeah, that's it. Trump was going to give us a little bit of a Saturday night massacre, and it never ended up happening because, and you do have to wonder yourself, McGahn, his legal counsel, or the White House counsel, you know, when those articles start coming out, as a PR guy, I always ask myself, what's the angle here? And it makes you wonder, because if four people were in that article, all of whom were familiar with the conversations that McGahn had with Trump, was it McGahn's underlings and McGahn himself who were trying to make himself look good because, oh, you know what's about to hit the fan and he doesn't want to be on the wrong side of Mueller? Is it that there are other people there who have left the White House since that were privy to this, Reince Priebus or whoever, that just want to make that are getting sweet revenge? I mean, it does make you wonder what's going on here, or if just everybody's running for the exit and they're trying to make Trump look worse because they're hoping that'll just focus everybody's attention on him because of the fact that this thing is you know, we know that Mueller is now going to interview Trump. Soon Trump gave his usual bravado, oh yeah, I'll do it under oath, and then, you know, started backing away, although it doesn't much matter. There'll be an FBI agent present. You can't lie to the FBI. It's still a crime, mm-hmm. right? So, I don't know. What an incredible cock-up they've got going on there.
Well, and when you look at what – first of all, McGahn saved him. Because this presidency would have been over by fall. Really, it would have. I mean, I don't think there would have been any way the Republicans, as much as they are turning their backs, firing the special prosecutor, and then with all the information that would eventually started coming on out, that there's just no way they could have held back that tidal wave. And so I think McGahn saved him to a point, at least for his first year of his presidency. But right. Is there something that we can look at, the fact that Sessions was questioned, that these other high-ranking members of the administration now are being pulled into the Mueller probe? And can we look at that and under your guise and what you put forward, that McGahn is basically, maybe he is trying to say, hey, I'm working with you guys. I'm not working against you guys. And he's kind of laying that foundation for when the entire collapse happens, that he can at least right. walk out and not be, you know, going to jail?
Right. Well, because if you think about this for a second, you look at what's going on right now. If Trump, throw aside the Russia collusion, throw aside the emoluments and the various ways he's profiting off the presidency, from the Trump hotel in D.C. to Mar-a-Lago to other things, you know, throw out the 16 legitimate sexual harassment or assault charges. I mean, you know, this guy's created new and interesting ways to break the law. Campaign finance law potentially broken when it's alleged that magically, $130,000 disappears out of his campaign account right around the time Stormy Daniels gets paid off, $130,000. I mean, there's so many ways they can go after this guy. But if we're just talking obstruction of justice and you're McGahn, you know, you're looking at what the rest of us are looking at, which is the guy fired Comey. He then told the Russians in the Oval Office he fired Comey to stop the investigation. He then told Lester Holt on TV he fired Comey to end the, you know, to stop an investigation. He ordered, you know, he's obviously ordered, as we now know, McGahn said, to fire Mueller. He tried to force Sessions to resign because he was angry at him for recusing himself and was hoping somebody else would come in and that person would fire Mueller. He's gone after McCabe to try to make him leave. So, if with all the things he's admitted publicly and all the things we know he's done, if that doesn't amount to obstruction of justice, I don't think that term has any meaning anymore. We maybe should just remove it from any statutes, and it should no longer exist as a crime, because it should be the easiest thing to prove in the world. I have to think McGahn's looking at this and like, even if they can't get this guy on anything else, obstruction of justice is almost easy to get him on. And I don't want to be there, you know, because who knows who else is going to be pulled into obstruction of justice, who else was advising him, and who else he was telling about these things he was doing, you know? And so maybe McGahn, you're like, I'm not getting pulled in on that, you know?
No. And your point about he admitted it to Lester Holt. All you have to do, if you convene a grand jury, is play the interview, whether it's the edited version or the raw version from NBC, and you pretty much have them dead to rights with that interview alone. And I, you know, it's, this is, by the way, one of the reasons why I say this is we lived in such a messed up world right now, because the Republicans, if that was a Democratic president, they wouldn't have lasted the day. You know, you have the enough. He is too dumb to stop himself from talking. And
right. He's too dumb not to brag, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, again, I don't, you know, everything else, you know, there's some proof. Certainly we know that it depends on what the legal definition, if we're talking about a legal conspiracy with the Russians, you know, to undermine an election versus just the English, the word in English, collusion. We know that took place. We don't know if it rises to the level of a crime. But we know that these guys were meeting with the Russians, you know, this Russian Kremlin-tied lawyer in Trump Tower. We know that Don Jr. and Kushner and Manafort were there. We know Manafort had numerous contacts during that period of time with these guys. We know that Jeff Sessions lied about his many meetings, and now that obviously has come out. We know that there on other occasions that Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, went over to meet with a pro-Russian parliamentarian in the Ukraine. About the, like, these are all things that have been established well beyond just, you know, what was in the Steele dossier. So we know that meetings took place. We know emails. George Papadopoulos was emailing with the Russians. Felix Sater was emailing with them, trying to get them together with Trump. I mean, these are all things we know, a lot of it. We just don't know if that's going to meet the legal definition or not. I think it will. I hope it will. But again, like the obstruction of justice thing, if admitting it on live national TV, if that's not, you know, and then and having the backstory out there, because we've got people cooperating with us, and because we know what was going on behind the scenes, we know who he fired. Like, he did fire Comey, and we know that then he said why he fired Comey. We know he said it to Russians in the Oval Office in Kislyak when he was meeting with them, when he wouldn't allow any American press in there. This is really not difficult. Mm-hmm. I can't see how he doesn't get charged with the obstruction of justice. And again, I'm not a lawyer, but this seems to be pretty common sense, right?
Well, yeah, and so, there'd be people calling for an impeachment when the Democrats found out, say, the RNC got hacked by the Russians. If they didn't call at 4, instead called at 5:30, there'd be Republicans calling for them to be removed from office. And so, you know, you do have this ludicrous level. And one thing, whether it's Stormy Daniels, whether it's the Fusion GPS guys, whether it's the Mueller people, whether it's Bannon, everyone who talks says the same thing. There's a lot more they're not saying. And, right. and that's the thing, which is, you know, some people will say that to try to put, you know, fear into people. But when Stormy Daniels, Fusion GPS, these people are out there saying it, they're saying, you know, hey, we tried to, you know, especially the Fusion GPS guys, the guys behind the Steele dossier, they basically said, the stuff we put in the dossier were the stuff that we felt we could definitely prove. There's a ton of stuff we couldn't definitely prove. We didn't put in there. If you want to bring us that in, we'd be happy to show it to you. And so, I mean, it's what we, you know, just what we know. There should be enough evidence there, but I can only imagine what Mueller's got and how meatier it gets.
Right. And I didn't even get into before just talking about emoluments, campaign finance reform laws potentially broken. You know, talking about the Russian, potential Russian collusion and conspiracy. And then there's the obstruction of justice, and that we haven't gone and even mentioned the money laundering part yet, which this guy's been doing since like the dawn of time. I mean, you don't buy places worth $45 million or whatever, houses in Palm Beach, and then have some Russian oligarch come along and pay you $95 million for them. That doesn't happen to normal people. And the various sort of connections between Felix Sater, the mobster who was working next door to Trump, who magically Trump claimed it under deposition or whatever. He wouldn't know him if he fell across him. I guess only if he just walked to the next office to the guy that had Trump business cards. Well, that whole Trump Soho, I mean, there's Russians and potentially other Chinese, too, laundering money through there. I mean, the very people that most people in real estate avoid, shell companies and all coming in with connections, the weird people and all that, you know, that they won't let buy their condos if they don't want to launder money. Here we have a guy that in the sort of more mainstream means had banks that wouldn't give him money anymore because he's a sucky businessman in every sense of the word. And so he needed to find somebody else to bail him out of his debt. I mean, again, almost as much as the obstruction, if they can't prove money laundering with him, I will be shocked. And there's so many cases over so many years of like funny business of shell companies buying, you know, huge numbers of condos in his buildings and all these other things going on. I mean, it's crazy. I if this guy doesn't spend time in prison, again, I almost ask, like, you know, why do we even have a justice system? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even understand it anymore.
I don't feel sorry for, and this again gets us to back to Ron Johnson, Trey Gowdy, to a point Devin Nunes. I think Nunes is a very volunteering guy. These people are being sent out there by the people that are pulling the strings to create some sort of defense. This whole secret society thing, which is such a comical joke. I mean, it was one text message between a girlfriend and her boyfriend that was clearly in jest. And the way, if you go back and listen to this, when they knew all that's all it was, and Johnson talking about offsite meetings and talking about how this is some sort of grand conspiracy, to a point I feel sorry for them because they drank the Kool-Aid. They're out there being good little Republicans, but they were sent out there with absolutely zero to back them up, and now all those guys are going to suffer. But, I mean, there is a tremendous amount of impact that's happening down the lines. Did you see in the Pennsylvania race, this is a +8 or +9 Republican seat. This is a special election coming up. The Republicans are having to put $1.5 million into that race at the last second to try to hold that seat because they can't. And if you look at that across, I mean, if they had to put $1.5 million into Paul Ryan's seat and into Mitch McConnell's seat, if they got to go around and these supposedly safe seats are now all up for grabs, even the Republicans have a finite amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Cruz in that most recent poll has a 38% approval rating, 49% disapproved. He's only up 45-38, was it, or something, against Beto O'Rourke, who's the guy that knocked off a blue dog Democrat in a district. You know, everybody's endorsing the other guy, and he found a way to get past it. I mean, he's charismatic. He raises money. And, you know, the only thing that you look at that poll and you say to yourself, Beto O'Rourke is only has 39% who know who he is right now. Right? Basically, almost everybody who knows who he is voting for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, imagine when he gets his name recognition up to the 70s or 80s. You look at what happened in that Wisconsin state Senate district. I mean, Scott Walker was so sure that this +17 Republican district was going to remain in their hands that he took the guy and pulled him out, the state senator, and appointed him to what? Like his cabinet or something. And then the Democrats win it not just by a point or close. They win it by 10 points. 27-point turnaround. So you do, like, I mean, at this point you wonder, are these guys, because they get their political fates are tied to this guy because they've done that to themselves and they're screwed, so they have to sort of hug him tight and hope that the base comes out for them. Is that the reason? Some of them probably yes, but I mean, you know, this isn't conspiracy. You're crazy if you're not asking yourself right now, what is it that Russians, not just Russians, whoever, may have on the rest of these guys? I mean, does Lindsey Graham suddenly go from being a Trump critic to like basically almost being in love with him? Bob Corker, some of the other ones. I mean, and Bob Corker got a nice little tax break in that tax bill. Maybe that was enough to do it, bribe the guy. But some of these others, it really does make you wonder because we know that they did hack the RNC and they never released anything. We know that Russian money, like friends of Putin who are American citizens who came over here at a young age and are connected to oligarchs over there, investors in some of the companies that the state took over, are people that dumped money into McConnell's super PAC, Ryan's super PAC, like all these various party committees. How much of that is, you know, how much of that do we know? Have any idea? These guys are laundering money into corporations through shell corp companies or whatever. Is it realistic to believe they can't launder it into political accounts? Of course they can.
Well,
so it's like, how many of these guys are tainted? How many of them know they won with Russian money and maybe either knew it at the time, didn't know at the time, but know now? It does make you wonder, I got to say.
Well, and your point there, I think, is something that we in the age of fantasticism, as far as scandal goes with Trump, the reality is, you have all these Republicans easy under one guise. Hey, do you remember that, you know, $100,000 donation you got supposedly from, you know, Bob and Chuck Smith? Well, that wasn't Bob and Chuck Smith. That was Igor and Natasha, and they gave that money to you, and we can prove that they gave it to you, and we can prove that your organization didn't do the due diligence to make sure that they didn't do it because you were so greedy for the $100,000. So now we have you dead to rights that you took money from a foreign agent to win your election, so you'd better do what we to say. And that
we own you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all they would have to do. And boy, oh boy, that's considering the way that the Republicans money grab, that would be the easiest way to take over the Republican Party.
Is this hard to believe? I mean, Barack Obama said this when they passed that ridiculous Citizens United, and Alito, remember, sat there in the State of the Union and shook his head like the jackass he is at Obama, because Obama was obviously being hyperbolic and crazy that this was going to be a way for foreign money and others that want to undermine our system to influence our system. I mean, it doesn't take, LLCs, you know, aren't transparent. C3s and C4s don't have to tell you who their donors are. It doesn't take a lot of creativity to find a way to put money into an LLC that then donates money into a C3 or a C4 that donates money into the other one. Before you know it, there's money mixing around in a million different places, and it comes out on the other side. This isn't like, it's not rocket science to believe this would happen, which is why now it's the NRA, you know, my favorite organization. Oh. I mean, oh my God, in addition to Trump and this group of jokers, if this took the NRA down, that would just, I mean, that could be one of the better days of my life.
So, it could be.
And I have no doubt. They don't believe in America. They believe in the same white nationalist garbage that Trump now represents. The NRA has represented that for 15 or 20 years now. Same radical, anti-government, racist, xenophobic, misogynist crap. They've been pumping that stuff out in emails on their radio station and other places forever now. People forget that.
No, they absolutely have, and they're in love with their money. Hey, before we go here really quick, how's the Unprecedented podcast? That's still going strong?
It is. We're doing great. We're still picking up subscribers. Every time we do one of our ones on Friday, which we just did again today, our pay subscribe podcast. So please, you were kind enough to say, patreon.com/unprecedented. Or maybe Unprecedented Podcast. I probably should memorize that. But you'll find it. You look at it in Patreon, you'll find it. And, we're hoping a few people. I've talked about them on your show before, some friends who I know who happen to be people that act in things and stuff. Hoping to get a couple of those folks on the show, and then that's when I want to do a big blitz, and we'll try to do some advertising online, some other stuff, and see if we can't really up it to where we want it to be. But so far, with very little advertising, we've got 150, 160 subscribers, which is kind of cool. So I'm enjoying it.
Well, and I'll make sure, once again, if you go to my social media stuff later on Twitter, on Facebook, I'll link to it. Go sign up for it. Go subscribe. Cliff is fantastic. And it's Unprecedented is the podcast. Cliff Schechter. Cliff, God, I missed you. Let's have you back before too long. Okay.
You too. We got to do this more often, my friend.
Absolutely. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us. Thanks, Cliff.
Hey, take care, buddy. Good talking to you as always.
Take care there. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and just wrap it up before we get to the bottom of the hour. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. One of the best parts of owning a new Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota is the service that comes with the vehicle. With my service package, I don't pay for anything. Oil changes, routine maintenance, and front-to-back coverage, it's an amazing stress reliever to have the cost of maintaining my vehicle included in the original cost. And Rudy Luther's top-notch staff takes care of everything, making my life even better. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The Blue State Ball is back. Hi, it's Mike McEntee. AM 950's annual get-together for like-minded progressives is March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis, and I will be there and look forward to talking with you. But we've got much bigger stars on the program, the voices you hear here every day, Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course our own Matt McNeil. Plus, expect lots of big-name political guests and candidates. It's always a great time, and tickets are on sale now at am950radio.com. Come join us and celebrate the resistance and the excitement building towards the 2018 election. General admission is just $35 and gets you in at 7 p.m. or come early at 5:30 p.m. with a VIP ticket for $100. Drop by and say hi to me, Matt, Norman, and Tom. The Blue State Ball is March 10th. Get tickets at am950radio.com and be part of the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thanks, Cliff Schechter, for joining us. And Unprecedented with John Avaros and Cliff is fantastic. If you want to basically get that, just go to the AM950, go to the Matt McNeil Show on Twitter, Matt McNeil Show Progressive Citizen X on Facebook, and you can find the links there. I'll have those up a little bit later on. And I also do want to make sure I mention, as you just heard with Mike McEntee mentioning in the ad break there, the Blue State Ball, get your tickets now. That is going to be coming up here just in a few weeks here on March 10th at the Blaisdell. Good news, everyone. You don't have to worry about going downtown. The Super Bowl people, the mean Super Bowl people, will be gone. Although there might be a few, you know, Eagles fans we have to poke from out of the bushes. But still, we'll get them all gone. Don't worry. They'll be gone by March 10th. The Blaisdell, just a great location in South Minneapolis. Of course, our national guests so far are Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course, you have Mike McAtee, myself, going to be there. Most of our weekend hosts are going to be there. We look forward to having them there. I can't say anything about the politicians, but I can tell you this. We have already put out a lot of feelers for the politicians. We've already had a few coming back. We're going to have some good people coming on in here, some big names. We'd love to have you out there. You can hear these people. We're going to save the announcements on the politicians for later, but it's looking really good. Nice, solid. It always is. Anytime we have an election year, we always have a huge turnout of the politicians. We'd love to see you out there as well. To get tickets, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. You just have to you can get the VIP tickets. They're 5:30 to 7 with all sorts of great fun there. You get a meet and greet. I got to say, I can whistle you a song, maybe play something with the spoons. I'm good with that. You know how I am. But, of course, Mike will be there, and then, of course, our guests will be there. And then, of course, general admission at 7 o'clock at the Blaisdell. AM950radio.com. Get your tickets. And a reminder, the VIP tickets, there's a limited amount. So you want to make sure you get those tickets. So go there now, get that set up, and you'll be taken care of. We'll take a break. Come on back. Get back in time here because we went way over with Cliff. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM950.
The race to replace Congressman Tim Walz is a wide-open scramble. There are many candidates on the DFL side running, and there will be a primary. On the Republican side, they're trying to prevent yet another loss in a district they used to dominate. Friday on the Mike McEntee Show, Rochester Post Bulletin reporter Heather Carlson joins us. She's been closely following the race and will tell us where things stand as precinct caucuses are less than 2 weeks away. That's the Mike McEntee Show, 4 to 5 p.m. on AM950 Radio.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Reimagine a world without violence. On Saturday, January 27th, you're invited to participate in this day-long conference sponsored by Plymouth Congregational Church and the Reimagining Community. Opening and closing services will be led by musician Sarah Thompson. Workshop sessions will focus on immigration, the violence of racism, and how to begin dismantling white supremacy, the LGBTQ community and the violence they live with every day, facing trauma, the police community relationship, using art to help us reimagine nonviolent communication practices within families, and much more. This is the 25th anniversary of the original Reimagining Conference. Come join with others in exploring nonviolence, peace, and healing, with attention to the individual, family, and community. Again, this day-long conference takes place Saturday, January 27th at Plymouth Congregational Church in downtown Minneapolis. Online registration is open until January 23rd, with early bird registration available through January 15th. Find a full schedule of events and register online at reimaginingcommunity.org. Let's reimagine a world without violence together.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly sunny skies today with a high near 41. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 25. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 31. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high around 18. Celebrate retaking our country and state with the Blue State Ball taking place on Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. VIP tickets are $100, where you get a meet and greet with Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman at 5:30, while general admission tickets are $35 and takes place at 7 o'clock. Order tickets at am950radio.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Ooh, I got an idea for you. Okay, St. Paul's going to have the stuff. Winter Carnival going to be going over there. Burger Moe's is a place to stop on by. It's the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Perfect if you're over there by the XL Energy Center or in St. Paul at all. Stop on in. Great burgers. 20 fresh varieties of burgers. Yumbo. Panini shakes, desserts. They got the Unburger happy hours. 60 beers on tap. Good fun. It's burgermoes.com. Burgermoes.com. 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Burger Moe's is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. I'm dead serious. I am going to go this weekend. We're going to, probably Sunday, we're going to go over and see the Ice Castle. My daughters have never seen one. My son was an infant when they had the one at the XL Energy Center for the All-Star game, for the NHL All-Star game they had there. Which really, and okay, let's call that, that wasn't really an ice castle. That was kind of an ice pen. It was a, you know, basically a big square block wall, right? I believe it's right where that parking garage is now. Might be in that parking right there, but it was right there. And It wasn't good. I mean, they had a rock stage and the Bare Naked Ladies played it during the All-Star game, which was kind of cool. It was cold. Oh, that was a cold day. But I went out there with my dad and my son, and my son, I'm guessing, he must have been one plus. So I'm going to guess this. What was that? Was that the All-Star game? Was that 2003? And, yeah, it just was a big square box. It wasn't a great one. This one looks like an ice palace. It's got towers and spires and stuff like that. That's what looks cool. And yeah, I mean, it's a goofy thing, but that's Minnesota, man. If you're going to be here in Minnesota, find creative ways. We're going to go. They put a walleye. You see the frozen walleye is in one of the blocks in the ice castle. They got a walleye frozen in there. It's an actual walleye. It's not like a fake walleye. They actually have a frozen fish in there. Okay. Ooh, you got us. What a tricky one. You might want to pull from another lake where there's not fish that are up in the frozen thing. Just call me crazy. But no, I'm going to probably do that. I might go by, I don't know. Do I really even want to try to go by the Viking Stadium, the big Jawa Sandcrawler? I don't think so. As much fun as there is going to be stuff over there, I can already tell you it's, you know, and here's the problem with this stuff. A lot of the stuff, the really cool stuff, you have got to be incredibly wealthy. It's like Vegas to a point. You can go to Vegas and yeah, you can just walk around casinos and, you know, get the feel of it and everything like that. But, you know, it's not, it's, you know, if you start gambling, you've got the potential of losing a lot of money, which a lot of people do. But if you really want to have those experiences where you're hanging out and having a wonderful time, I mean, that's, you know, $40,000, $50,000 for the weekend on the cheap side. I mean, if you want to go to the really nice restaurants, if you want to go to the really good shows, if you want to go do that and maybe have a specialty table that you're playing at, something like that, you know, that takes some money. Well, the same concept here. It's pay-to-play sort of thing, and you know, there's not going to be a lot of free things to do. I mean, you can go walk Nicollet Mall. That whole thing has got tons of stuff on it. And yeah, you can go look at the stuff. And that's cool. Take a few photos. Yeah, good time. But you want to go see any of the incredible concerts here. God, I mean, some of the tickets were $500, $600 for crap seats. Just absolute crud seats. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. To get anywhere near the front, a few thousand dollars. And I think it's nice and all, and I think it's great that we've become kind of the playground for the nation and the world's wealthiest kids to basically come spend the inheritance that our taxpayer dollars have given them. Yeah, great. But still, yeah. I'm going to go this weekend, and I am – my wife, her whole company is not even working downtown. Do you have any friends that work downtown, Eric, that they've basically – the bosses have told them, if you don't have to come in, don't worry about it, or just work from home?
Yeah, I've had couple friends say that it's a nightmare trying to get anywhere down there.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to town. And of course, on top of that, it's Eagles and Patriots fans. Oh dear Lord. It's not like we got brought in Miami and Arizona fan or anything like that. You know, congenial somewhat, you know. It's nope. I guess it's better than Packer fan, but there's so many here anyway. Packers. Yeah, alrighty. 952-946-6205. Well, it's gotten ugly in the Minnesota campaign for governor. This out of the City Pages. Two parties aren't even running against each other yet. On Wednesday, Jeff Johnson, Hennepin County Commissioner and the 2014 Republican candidate for governor, addressed and dispelled a couple of ugly rumors swimming around on the Republican side of the field. I don't think that this is a surprise that Matt Dean pulled out his nomination and then endorsed Jeff Johnson, and basically at the same time, these rumors kind of materialized. Listen up. This is. I don't believe this. I really don't believe this stuff. But I just. It's funny to watch Republicans who are. This is what you're going to see with this Jeff Johnson race. You're going to see play out across the country. Johnson, in case you were out of the loop on repeated deleted conservative Facebook pages, has been accused on social media of two offenses: one, not supporting Donald Trump, and two, molesting a teenage boy. Wow. Going for the death shot on the first volley, aren't you there? Wow. Never Trumpers for Jeff Johnson, which, because it was registered on Facebook and Facebook.com, Jeff Johnson governor, looked a lot like an official campaign site. The page administrator was Kevin G. Bennett, a fake profile, according to Johnson, who says the same person had several other false identities and was active in trolling my Facebook posts. Never Trumpers for Johnson. Jeff Johnson, currently unavailable on Facebook, was established to smear Johnson, the candidate says. The obvious inference was the page. His title is that Johnson is not a fan of the Republican president. And whoa, Jeff, just I want to give you a chance here, bud. Before you start grabbing and giving him a big hug, there's a decent chance you're going to lose 23B because of Donald Trump is unpopular and because of Republican missteps. So before you start, I'm his greatest fan. Oh, man, there's a lot of money you're about to throw away. So in 2015, 2016, the obvious inference of the page title is that Johnson's not a fan of the Republican president. In 2015-16, Johnson ran Florida GOP Senator Marco Rubio's Minnesota campaign operation, which led to a victory in the Minnesota GOP caucus. Rubio has pledged his support to Johnson's 2018 bid for governor. Oh, God, that means you're going to have Rubio in town. Oh, for God's sakes. Nevertheless, Johnson says his page was falsely suggesting I either don't or didn't support Trump, which he calls dishonest. Good luck with that, by the way. Thanks, Jeff Johnson. I'm going to call the governor's race right now. He still supports Trump. That's big Jeff Johnson stance right now. The Facebook page also allowed posters to contribute their thoughts about Jeff Johnson, like the one which Johnson quotes verbatim: "Jeff Johnson is a sick pervert who belongs behind bars. He groped my teenage son last year and sent him lewd pictures. Jeff is a disgusting bastard." Johnson's campaign spent several weeks trying to get the page banned by Facebook. It was getting significant traffic and causing problems for the campaign to no avail. It only finally disappeared about a week ago, then reappeared, scrubbed of the pedophile post, before going dark again a couple of days ago. Its most recent deletion came after the identity of the source was figured out. Kevin G. Barnett is actually a woman and supporter of the paid staffer of another Republican candidate, Keith Downey. So once again, this is a Keith Downey, at best, associated page where they're accusing Jeff Johnson of molesting a teenage boy. At best, it was done. At worst, rather, that's a best for Keith Downey. At worst, Downey knew this and he's like, yeah, get him. Keith Downey, a one-time state senator from Medina and more recently chairman of the Republican Party of Minnesota. Downey doesn't deny this, but does dispute the timeline in his statement. Wow. Hey, I might have called him that pervert, but I didn't do it on Tuesday. It was on Wednesday. Get it straight, fake news. Jeez. Donnie said the online activity occurred before the staffer was hired, and we was not aware of the parody page, which she brought on. When I was made aware, I demanded the page was taken down, Donnie says, and it was. I personally spoke with Jeff Tuesday to assure him our campaign was never involved. As for the molestation allegation that had appeared on Never Trumpers for Jeff Johnson, Donnie agrees it was shameful and unacceptable, but clarifies that it was not a post from our staff, or instead it was a review comment left by another Facebook account, and Donnie observes it is a known issue with Facebook that review comments are permanent and undeletable, even by page administrators. Donnie says the similar trolling tactics will be deployed against every Republican candidate by the DFL, and this campaign will be ready to tell, you know, for them. No, this is not the DFL. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, Keith, leave us out of it, man. The DFL has nothing to do with it. This is your own staffer, dude. You're basically trying to deflect by, oh, it was the Democrats. No, dude, no. This is you. It's not us. This is you, man. Is on you. Johnson said, for his part, pledged to save my most aggressive fire for the DFL and never mislead you to raise doubts about my fellow Republicans. Johnson and Downey finished second and third, respectively, in a recent Republican Party of Minnesota straw poll behind Matt Dean. The Matt Dean experience ended yesterday. That's right. Matt Dean was running for governor. In case anyone missed it before he resigned, he did indeed try. The state party convention is scheduled for the first 2 days of June, leaving more than 125 days of GOP versus GOP campaigning to go. Republicans looking to regain the governor's office will hope they're not nearly as many. Nicely done, Mr. Mullen over at the City Pages. Okay. You can sit and act as if this is all buddy-buddy. You clearly, and by the way, does this mean Keith Downey is a proud Trump supporter? For God's sakes, Twin Cities media, get a microphone in Jeff Johnson's grill, get a microphone in Keith Downey's pie hole, and ask them, do you 100% support Trump? Did you vote for Trump? I know you guys don't want to do that because you want to try to help these guys out a little bit, but it would be helpful for us where Trump is the deciding factor in our vote, whether or not these clowns are still on board with them. And if the media does not ask that question prior to the Republican GOP convention, they basically are allowing these people to get a mulligan. No. If you see Keith Downey, get your phone out. Respectfully approach him. Respectfully ask the question. Hey, Keith, did you vote for Donald Trump, and do you support Donald Trump? If you see Jeff Johnson, get your cell phone out. Be respectful, but ask them, Mr. Johnson, did you vote for Trump, and do you still support Donald Trump? Get them on the record today. And if the media won't do it, then we have to do it as citizen journalists ourselves. Be respectful. You've heard me say it a few times. Be respectful, but get in their grill and ask them who they stand for. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Can we take a break? All right. We're going to take a break right now. Come on back. It sounds like Randy and Coon Rapids might want to chime in. And oh, good. Bad news for their iron range. I'll tell you about that in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Fact is, it's January in Minnesota, and we spend a lot more time indoors. And we're breathing a lot of dry indoor winter air. But don't worry, Standard Heating has the solution. If you install a new furnace this January, you'll not only stay warm and comfortable, you'll also get your choice of a free air purifier or humidifier. Oh, and Standard Heating also offers 0% interest and $0 down on approved credit. Suddenly, this winter doesn't look so bad. Find out more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
2018 is the year women make real change. Northern Sun, the progressive voice of protest since 1979. And this year, we're the fuel driving the women's marches across the country. Northern Sun, the one-stop shop for shirts, stickers, buttons, and posters. Make a statement. Sticker it to the man. Visit Northern Sun in Minneapolis on East Lake Street or online at northernsun.com.
What do we do with the cars and trucks that are donated to Auto Technical? We help families with transportation. Sometimes they're break down in tears. They're so relieved. Kids jumping around saying, oh, now we can go see Grandma. Do something great. Donate that car or truck to Auto Technical. Call me.
Call Auto Technical at 612-919-5526 or online at autotechnical.org.
Visit STEM and check out their new house-infused vodkas. STEM now has the largest collection of infused vodkas in the state. Enjoy exotic flavors like blueberry mango, peach cardamom, and spiced pear. STEM is open Tuesday through Saturday at 4 p.m. and features a collection of global small lot wines, craft cocktails, and small plates in a comfortable atmosphere. They look forward to your visit. Be sure to check out STEM at stemminneapolis.com to keep up with wine tasting events and new menu items.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Reminder, you can find the show on iTunes. Matt McNeil Show on iTunes. You can click follow, podcast, enjoy. Once again, it's the Matt McNeil Show on iTunes. And, of course, we do have a new SoundCloud page. No Randy? What happened, Eric?
I don't know. Must have dropped him on accident.
Well, sure, wink. Sure, wink, 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 wink. That was an accident. I was wondering who is going. I was wondering who Randy in Coon Rapids was going to side with on this. Jeff Johnson or Keith Downey? Is that Randy himself? Yeah. Okay. Just you can bring on Randy here, Eric. You don't. You know, we can bring Randy on in here. Randy is in Coon Rapids. Randy, there you are. What happened?
Hey, there's no wink, wink. Every time. He said, okay, I'm going to put you on hold. Click. There was the dial tone. Yeah. Hey, what happened?
Yes, sure. That was by accident. Anyway, the Randy.
Hey, you wanted to talk to me. I know you did.
Oh, wow. Do you have a gas leak in the car there, Randy? Oh, no, of course.
Oh, man. All right, I know you're missing me, Matt.
It is nice to hear from you, Randy. So let me ask you this. With this whole thing from City Pages exposing with the Jeff Johnson and Keith Downey going after each other, Let me ask you a legit question for a Republican voter. How much do you need to have a candidate that's the 100% on board with Trump candidate? Can a Republican be, you know what? I disagree with some of the things he's done. I'm still a Republican. I still believe in some of the things he's done, but I'm not wholly on board with Donald Trump. Or does the Republican candidate of your choice have to be someone that's 100% on board with Donald?
No, I mean, I would go, if they were totally against what Donald Trump's got going on, I would probably have a problem with that. But, I mean, you can't agree with everything that everyone, you know, not everything Donald Trump's going to do is fantastic. And if somebody's going to go, yeah, everything Donald does is great. I mean, so far, I think he's done an incredibly great job. But,
you know,
if Jeff Johnson's not on board, I'm more concerned about that whole teenage thing. I'm like, if that's even true, can we at least find out about that?
There's no way in the world. I mean, I'll say this about Jeff Johnson. I don't know the guy. I'm not going to vote for him, but I can already tell you just the way that whole thing was set up, that's absolutely not true. And it's disgusting. You know, one thing that Trump has done, his economic stimulus package, definitely, specifically, one lucky woman did get $130,000 from his economic stimulus package. She had to put some work in, and boy, it sounds like it was hazard pay, but still she did indeed get paid $130,000 for some hard earned work that she put in with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that, Matt. And there was two things. One, do we know it's true? And
yes.
Just because, even if, let's suppose,
yes,
let's
we do.
Throw this out there and go, this is true. Just because it came from his campaign, how does that know that he's the one? It could have been anybody on his campaign that wrote a check out to her and could have been with.
Oh no, it was his lawyer. It was his lawyer that did it, and they put it through some shell companies out of Delaware to basically hide it, and they shifted the money, which would be money laundering. If the money actually went from his campaign, that's technically money laundering. He can't do that. That would be illegal. And I think there's a legitimate chance Melania might have all of his stuff on the White House lawn when he comes back from Switzerland.
Yeah. Well, and think about this too, Matt. Anyone that's got the kind of money Donald Trump has, do you think they would do something like that? That they would use campaign money?
He would
take cash. He'd go to his piggy bank and get cash out of his piggy bank and slide her the cash if that's what he was going to do.
Well,
you and I aren't stupid enough to do something like that. I mean, we're probably not the brightest bulbs on a tree either, but I think we'd be smart enough to go, yeah, you know, that's probably not a great thing to do.
No,
I think we should do this a different way.
I'm pretty sure I would not be sleeping with the porn star and then paying her off $130,000. Randy, I got to get you.
I would
let you go because I got to get my final topic today. Trump administration will curtail the detailed review of how cordoning off 230,000 acres of the U.S. Forest Service in Minnesota from mining development will affect the neighboring Boundary Waters canoe area, according to documents obtained by the Washington Post. The decision to convert the study launched in the final days of the Obama administration into a less stringent environmental assessment could have major policy implications. Basically, what it is this. The people that are pro-mining are frantically trying to prevent this study from happening because they already know what the study will show. That this is too dangerous to put this mine anywhere near the Boundary Waters canoe area. But I think the best way I can do this is let me, through Theater of the Mind, I'm going to take you 20 years into the future, and I am going to give you the press conference we are going to have 20 years in the future. Gee willikers! I can't believe this. That mining company who never once did a clean mine ever before they got into Minnesota, guess what? They were lying. Oh, man. They were lying. They pulled all the minerals out of the ground that they wanted. Then, when there was nothing left, sold the mine off to a local group who didn't have anything there to make. And that's when they discovered they'd been toxifying the Boundary Waters canoe area completely. And they'd been double-crossed. Who in the world would have believed this mining company would have polluted the Boundary Waters? Jeez, you can't trust anyone, can you? Oh, and here's the really bad news. Because of the Minnesota Republicans' oopsie law, well, the company said oopsie right before they left. We didn't know what that meant, but they said oopsie, and then they ran out of the country. And, well, because they said oopsie, they're not responsible for cleaning it up. And so, yeah, we got a few hundred jobs out of this mine. Well, actually, we didn't really. I mean, they actually have already applied for a waiver to get a bunch of cheap labor from Oklahoma up here to do this their job. They didn't really even give us all the jobs they promised, but now we're going to lose tens of thousands of tourism jobs in northern Minnesota because they were fibbers. Oh, those guys, who would have ever believed the mining company that has never been honest about what their mine is going to do to the environment would have lied to us? Who can you trust anymore? There you go. The press conference from 20 years in the future. And all these Republicans are going to, they're going to get their concerned look in their, on their face. And, oh, we were double-crossed. We were double-crossed. No, you weren't. You were complicit. You went along with this. You encouraged it. You did everything in your power to make this happen. And you should be held responsible. That's why I want Kurt Dowd up there with a little skimmer getting that sulfur peroxide out of the Boundary Waters in 20 years. They all should be up there. Mike's up next. We're back on a Monday. Have a great weekend. Till then, see ya.